I want to thank you guys for being here this morning. It really is encouraging just to see a large group of men carving out some time on a Saturday morning to sit around tables, to chat with each other. There is a loneliness epidemic happening among men right now. Like, studies are showing this. Men are more lonely than they've ever been, especially in younger generations, specifically in the mid-30s. And so the fact we have a lot of guys here in their 20s and 30s, as well as from all the generations, we're just really grateful for, because there's a loneliness epidemic happening, and guys don't know how to get themselves out of it. It feels too vulnerable even to come to something like this. So I recognize, Matt, you might have kind of gone back and forth even on coming to this, and I just want to say well done for showing up and having to interact with people. We're losing the ability to do that today, and we can't. Like, we have to know each other. It's in the Christian life, it's critical to do the Christian life together. It's a confusing time to be a man, isn't it? It's confusing times. And so our hope this morning is to bring a little bit of clarity, bring a little bit of clarity about what we mean when we say act like a man. The Me Too movement has shed very necessary light on male aggression and abuse towards women. It's a good thing, but the Me Too movement is happening. But the Me Too movement is also interpreted a number of different ways. One of the ways that this social media firestorm that's getting men typically in power in trouble is it's interpreted sometimes like what we need, hyperfeminism would say, what we need is just to do away with everything masculine. It's what's wrong with society. See, hyperfeminism not only sees no need for men, but sees the very makeup of men the problem in society. So do away with men and there will be a utopia. So there's this need. Yes, the Me Too movement is good, and men need to own up to aggression and power abused. But does it also mean do away with manhood, masculinity? Men need to, on the one hand, wake up to the fact that we have caused serious harm to women and children on both sides of the coin through aggression and through neglect, through just simply not being present, homes without men. But I'm going to say, men do need to do away with everything. Men do not need to do away with everything that makes us uniquely male. What is needed is not extracted testosterone. What's needed is sanctified testosterone. If remember that phrase, like that, I want you to hang your hats there. When we talk about act like men, like maybe the clearest definition I want to say is sanctified testosterone. Man, yes. Being men, yes, but in a way that's completely Christian, sanctified masculinity. That's what we're after. Blaise Pascal, a French theologian a couple centuries ago, said, "It is of dangerous consequence to represent to man how near he is to the level of beasts without showing him at the same time his greatness. It is likewise dangerous to let him see his greatness without his meanness. It is more dangerous yet to leave him ignorant of either, but very beneficial that he should be made sensible of both. The ability in a man to be animal-like, to be beastly, is innate within all of us, and we need to recognize that. At the same time, there is this innate ability, this longing, this beautiful picture of masculinity and its greatness. Now, to only think about one constantly is to obscure the picture of manhood, but to recognize our ability to wander, our ability to be a danger, our ability to be an aggressor, and at the same time, our ability to be sanctified men. And the beauty, the necessity for culture, for family, for church in having that. We need to always be mindful of both. It's absolutely critical. So I want us to hang our hats here for my little session here on 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. This is where we got the title for the event this morning, Act Like Men. It comes straight out of 1 Corinthians 16. We're going to put the verses on the screen, and the verses will stay there because we're just going to work our way through what it says. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. I want us to talk about the five imperatives that Paul writes here. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let everything you do be done in love. Watchful, firm in faith, acting like men, be strong, love. Let's start with be watchful. You could also say it this way, be wakeful. Be on guard, be alert. Why? So your spiritual enemy doesn't gain an advantage on you. Just having your eyes up and looking at the dangers that could be coming your way. My son Walker is 6 years old, and so he's just a couple years into riding his bike, and now with the nice weather coming, he's kind of started to hop on his bike again, and it's still kind of fresh. And what I find happens sometimes is he is so consumed with watching himself ride the bike and work the handles that his eyes aren't up and seeing the literal brick wall that's coming right towards him. And so he just in the last week, he's had a few run-ins with objects because he's riding his bike, but his eyes are on his bike. He's trying to make sure that he's pedaling right, and he's looking at his tire and how it steers, and then boom. And Paul is saying, be watchful. Have your eyes up. Be aware of what it looks, of how we live, aware of the dangers that surround us. Physical dangers, sure, but the spiritual dangers that surround us. Jesus said this. He gave a warning in Luke chapter 12 when he said, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third, as is late into the night, and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at the hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Jesus is saying, he's talking about a man who's a watchman, and he's saying, act like that, man. Live your life in such a way that you recognize that Jesus is returning, and when he returns at an hour we don't expect, what should he find us doing? Aware of our surroundings, aware of spiritual dangers, and living on mission, living out the Great Commission, being men fully engaged in what God has called us to do. Our enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. We should not be oblivious to this. We should be watchful and mindful of it. Second, he says, stand firm in the faith, like a rock. It's not merely to hold strongly to doctrinal convictions, but also, probably more so, to persist in acting in a way that's consistent with faith in Christ. Stand firm in the faith, not just mindfully, theologically, but in the way you live. Let your life be characterized by living out this faith because you're strong and standing firm in it. The Corinthian church, this is written to the Corinthians, they had shown some particular weaknesses in this area. You could almost say that the Corinthian church was a total mess. Paul's writing a letter just trying to be as a corrective. And the particular weaknesses that they had experienced was that they were prone to give in to the lax moral standards of the environment. Sound familiar? Rather than take every thought captive to obey Christ, they were more likely to let their thoughts and actions be taken captive by Roman and Corinthian values and practices. And we know the same is true for us. We're prone to be lax in our environment and adopt the ways of our environment. And Paul comes along and says, no, no, no. Stand firm in that context in the faith. Ironically, to stand firm often means fleeing. For you to stand firm, what does it look like? To stand firm in the faith sometimes means to flee temptation. To stand firm in the faith is to flee youthful passions. Standing firm in the faith is not running from God-given responsibility. Standing firm in the faith is owning up to sin and repenting of it. Standing firm in the faith is recognizing what we're here for and what our lives are all about. Men, stand firm in the faith. Be the rock of faith in your home that your family needs. Too often we see men bringing up the rear, not standing firm in the faith. A spouse who's eager to bring her family to church, brings the kids, and the husband is physically and emotionally and spiritually just lagging behind, tagging along. No. Stand firm in the faith. Your family needs you, men, to stand firm in the faith. Our church needs you, men, to stand firm in the faith. Our culture needs you, men, even though they don't know it, to stand firm in the faith. And here's the beauty. God enables Christians to stand firm in the faith. Earlier this week, I reached out to one of my accountability partners, and we just met quickly in the middle of the day. And I told him, man, I failed yesterday. I needed to tell him that the day before I had slipped up. I had screwed up. And my bent has always been to hide that, to bury that, and to keep it a secret, and to just move on. And so I just knew, man, I have to deal with this today. And so I called him up, and we just met, and I told him what was going on. Because there's this moment right there. Am I going to contend for the faith? Am I going to stand firm in the faith, or am I going to be lax? Am I going to release it? It doesn't matter. I just knew that there's a battle going on in this moment. And so God enables us to stand firm in the faith. He knows that's my desire. And so accountability is crucial. We reach out to men to encourage us to stand firm in the faith. We ask God in desperation, help me stand firm in the faith. He wants that for you. So ask him to help you in it. Third, act like men. What does that mean? Here's three things it doesn't mean. Here's the first. Act like boys. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say act like boys. I have two boys. I know what it means to act like boys. I have some of these traits in myself. I know what it means to act like boys. Just earlier in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And then he goes on to say, when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. It's interesting. In history, boys gave up childish ways in their teens. A bar mitzvah was a big deal. Turning 13, you started to treat that 13-year-old like a man. We don't even treat some guys in their 30s like men. Some guys in their 30s don't act like men, act like boys. Kids think the world revolves around them. Men are supposed to know that it doesn't. When you're at a men's event like this, it's just a natural to bring up the movie Titanic, right? It's just like a go-to. It's not saying act like boys, it's saying act like men. And I think one of the perfect pictures of what it means to act like a boy is to do what Billy Zane's character does in Titanic, which is women and children on the lifeboats, and Billy Zane's character is barging through, hopping on a boat, and bringing it down into the water. He's not acting like a man in that moment. He's acting like a boy. Don't be like Billy Zane. Here's the second thing. I always think of Zoolander, by the way, when I think Billy Zane. Okay, all right, let's move on. Second, when it says act like men, it doesn't say act like women. Like, it's obvious, but Paul's not saying that. He's saying act like men, which obviously infers don't act like women. See, men and women are designed by God to complement each other, not compete with each other. Husbands, in your marriage, there's already a wife. You don't need to act like a woman as well. You need to act like a man. And the reason you need to do that is because you're a perfect complement to each other. Don't mimic her traits. Don't mimic her role. Step into yours. Don't act like a woman, act like a man. Here's a more men's ministry kind of movie quote, movie analogy, Saving Private Ryan. Oh, yeah. What's that movie about? It's kind of about Saving Private Ryan, but the movie is actually not about Saving Private Ryan. It's about Saving Private Ryan's mom, isn't it? Why? Because all of her sons, but one, were killed in the war. And the whole point of the mission was to send this little band of soldiers into enemy territory to bring Private Ryan home, not to save his life, but to save his mother's, because if all of her sons died in the war, that would be heartbreaking loss that she could never bear. So the whole point of the mission was, this is for his mother. And every soldier on that mission said, yeah, I'll go. Not to save one fellow soldier in the war, but to save a woman's life. See, it's not only an innate instinct in men to protect their own families, but also the families of others, and to protect and save them from men whose innate instinct has gone askew. That's one of the reasons we need male elders in this church. Where that has gone askew in a home. It's like a band of soldiers coming and saving not the husband first and foremost, but the wife from the wrongs. It's welled up in men to either be selfish aggressors or to save women and kids from those selfish aggressors. Which side of the coin will you find yourself in? There is a distinction. We see it in Ephesians 5. Husbands are asked to do something wives aren't, and that's to protect and to provide for, to nourish and to cherish their wives in ways that wives aren't. Men, don't act like women in your marriage. Act like the men God wants you to be. Third, act like men doesn't mean acting like men. To act like a man means conduct yourself. It doesn't mean to put on an act like you don't struggle or feel things, but to live with authenticity and vulnerability. Don't put on an act. Ah, the macho thing to do is not to share my feelings. That's what real men do. No, that's just a fake facade. Don't put on an act. To truly act like a man is to be vulnerable. To really lead in the home is to actually be the first to say, I'm sorry. The first to say, hey, I'm struggling. I'm not doing well at this. I failed you. What a great model to your wife and to your kids if you're in a family. Acting like a man isn't putting on an act. I've learned, and it's taken a really long time, and I'm still struggling at it a great deal, but I do know that my wife and boys need, yes, a strong man. Yes, a watchful man. But they also need a vulnerable man. See, a Christian marriage is a partnership between a husband and a wife of two equals. And yet the man is called to headship, which is sacrificial leadership, taking the lead for primary responsibility in leadership, but in the context of a partnership and equality. So your wife doesn't need some guy who barks orders like a drill sergeant. That's not partnership. That's a misinterpretation of what leadership is. Your wife and family, they do not need a distant taskmaster or a passive errand boy. They need a sacrificial leader. In the context of a partnership, the Corinthian church had men, or rather, they had males. They lacked men, and it was ruinous. See, when men don't act like men, the church's spiritual infrastructure collapses. Even though Paul is calling the whole church, men, women, and children, to act like men, he's clearly calling them to a masculine trait. Therefore, men should take the lead on that. Next, be strong. Here's male strength gone wrong in two different ways. Macho men, maybe the key word being bravado. It's male strength used not to protect and provide, but to dominate and take. It's using God-given strength for selfish ends. The macho man, bravado. On the opposite end of the pendulum, male strength gone wrong is emasculated men. Or passivity. Male strength not used at all, which is what many people are calling men to do in the Me Too movement. Don't do anything masculine. We need to rid our culture of that. That passivity is male strength not used at all. We call it passivity, but it's actually an active choice to do nothing. Adam and Eve in the garden. The serpent tempts Eve with the fruit that's forbidden by God. She takes it and eats, and then it says she hands it to Adam, who clearly was standing there all along. He was passive when he shouldn't have been, but he made an active choice not to step in and lead. That's why when God comes and speaks to them, what does he do first? He goes to Adam and says, "What have you done?" His passivity was an active choice to do nothing. It's a total miss of what it means to be strong. The exhortation to be strong reflects a statement said over and over again in the Old Testament, be strong and courageous, meaning this, be strong in extremely challenging circumstances. It's easy to puff up our chests in light times and act like we're strong. Real strength is in difficulty being strong. Now, we are to be strong physically, and we are to be strong spiritually. Physically, Tamika Brents is a mixed martial arts fighter who a few years ago fought a transgender athlete. Born male, identified female, transitioning to female, they fought in a mixed martial arts competition. Tamika Brents was quite a good fighter and then won a lot of her fights. But here's what she said after this fight. I fought a lot of women, and I have never felt the strength that I felt in a fight as I did that night. I can only say I've never felt so overpowered ever in my life, and I am an abnormally strong female. The article had nothing to do with faith. It just concluded that female sports will never recover from this. Why? Because 9 times out of 10, men are simply stronger than women. My wife works out all the time, runs all the time, at the gym all the time. I go like once a week and at best, and that's new for me and a real success. She works out all the time. I'm stronger than her. I'm stronger than her. God's just done that in the male life. We're physically stronger and we're called to be strong in the right ways. Also, and more in mind of what Paul's saying here, be strong spiritually. Christian men need to hear this charge from Jesus. Be strong in faith when it costs you at work. Be strong in faith when all your buddies are spending their money on bigger homes and more expensive hobbies. Be strong in faith when your wife fails you, when your kids fail you. Be strong in faith when you fail them. Be strong. Be rooted in Christ in extremely challenging circumstances. It's not letting fear or hopelessness interfere with duty. It's courageously and faithfully carrying out your responsibilities, even in the face of dangerous and costly circumstances. Use this God-given strength that you possess to be strong in providing and protecting those entrusted to your care. Use it to be strong in the faith in providing and protecting spiritually for those entrusted to your care. Now, you may think at this point, I just don't have that strong faith. I'm not strong like that. I'm feeling weak, if I'm really honest. Here's the interesting thing about what Paul says when he says, be strong. He's written it in the passive tense. He's telling them to be strong, and he's writing it in the passive tense. What does it mean? He's talking about the strength that Christ supplies. Like, that's the beauty of the Christian hope. Is you're not called to do this alone. You're not called to just do better, guys. You're called to lean on Jesus and pray for it desperately. Make me strong in all the right ways, God. And he loves to do that for you. Be strong, passive, meaning with the strength that Christ will supply you. His desire is that you'll be strong for those in your life. Ask him. Finally, let all that you do be done in love. This seems odd after everything we've just read. Right? Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Go kill somebody in battle. Like, that's what it feels like. That feels like what should be next, right? No. Let all that you do be done in love. We tend to do things out of love for ourselves, right? But here's the thing. God's glorified when we act in love towards God. That's called worship. God is glorified when we act in love towards others and putting their welfare before ours and living self-sacrificially. As C.S. Lewis put it in his essay, Men Without Chests, men with chests are large-hearted men, real men. What makes a real man in the eyes of C.S. Lewis, the Christian? He says it's a large-hearted man. And we miss that, I think. We think, oh, to be a man, and we think of all the wrong things. Oh, to be a man. With all the distinction that is masculinity, with a big heart, with sacrificial love. Listen, the most fully alive, complete, ultimate man is not Donald Draper, the womanizing, charismatic day drinker. The most fully alive, complete, ultimate man is not Sylvester Stallone, with the macho Rambo savior complex. The most fully alive, complete, ultimate man is not even Jordan Peterson, who has this huge following these days, even though he's calling men to a good thing and to better their lives and a little bit of self-empowerment in the right ways. It's only a half measure. It's nothing more than a half gospel. No, the most fully alive, complete, ultimate man is Jesus, who perfectly lived these five imperatives and sent us the Spirit to empower Christian men to live them out too. Want to see courage and love most clearly displayed? Look no further than the cross. Jesus is our model. Jesus fulfilled every imperative, showing us the picture of true manhood, culminating in self-sacrificing love for his bride, the church. This is the distinct thing that it says to husbands that it doesn't say to wives in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Love and masculinity, Jesus displayed those perfectly. Let me close with this. A few years ago, there's been many shootings around the States, but we'll talk about one this morning. A few years ago, at a midnight showing of a superhero movie, a man ran into the theater, threw some tear gas, and then opened fire on this crowded movie theater, midnight showing of a new superhero movie. Scattered throughout the theater were four different couples who didn't know each other, boyfriends with their girlfriends, all in their 20s. And all of these men did the exact same thing. As shots began to ring out, these boyfriends grabbed their girlfriends, brought them to the ground, and laid on top of them. One girlfriend, after the fact, was interviewed, and she said, "What my boyfriend did is he grabbed me as the shots were being fired, pulled me to the ground, laid on top of me, and just began to rub my back and whisper in my ear, 'It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.' And then another spray of bullets and silence. After this horrific shooting, the parents of these four young men were interviewed, and the parents had this strange mix of deep sadness and loss and incredible pride. Why? Because their boys displayed that they were men that night as they lay their life down for these girls. There are two types of men in the world right now. The ones who wield their power in terrible ways and abuse and kill. And then there are the ones who lay their lives down for the bride. Which one are you going to be? Let's act like men. Let's pray. Jesus, I so desperately need you to take all of the carnal things in me, the sin that boils up in me, the selfishness in my bones, and I need you to sanctify it. I need you to forgive me of my sin. I need you to help me lay it down every day, and you allow me to because of the cross of your self-sacrifice. I can do away with that, and I can lean on your Spirit that inside of me wants to grow this acting like men in real ways. Lord, I pray that for us. Wherever there are churches with men who are strong in faith, contending for the faith, there is a healthy church there. And so I pray that for us. I pray that for every home represented in this room. Jesus, please, would you work in us, lay down our sinful nature that we might take up our Christ-likeness. Jesus, we need that and we pray for that. Help us to act like men in all the right ways. In Jesus' name, amen.